Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you, and I trust that as we turn once again to the Word of God, that the Lord will bless us. We're turning to the very, very beginning of the book of Ruth. I know you're thinking, we've just been to the end of the book, and here we are going back to the beginning. Well, that's true. But we're going back just to notice something special in the opening verses. On Tuesday when I was with you, I sought to show you that there are in the Bible, in many, many places in the Bible, pictures of the great event that cannot be too far away, and I'm referring to the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we drew your attention to some of the pictures that you have been familiar with. We mentioned Joseph and how in Egypt his brethren were brought before him when they came looking for food, but they didn't recognize him the first time. But on the second time, they recognized him. Then Moses, the first time he stepped forward to help his brethren, he was rejected and he had to flee away for a long time, 40 years. And then God sent him back the second time and he became the Redeemer of Israel and led them out of Egypt. We spoke of David, and it was on his second visit to the camp of Saul that he went forth and defeated Goliath. All little pictures showing each one of them a slightly different aspect of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to have a wee look at the opening verses of Ruth because there's a little picture there of that great event. I was thinking, actually, how many follow the Bible reading calendar by Murray McShane? Some of you? Good. How many have been reading the book of Esther following that? Yes! Well, if you look at the book of Esther, as it were, standing back from it, and seeing in all that's taking place in that book, a foreshadowing, a picture of future events. Because you have in some of the characters in that book, a picture, just like I have been speaking about Joseph and Moses and David. In the book of Esther, you have the same scene suggested to us. You have Haman, the wicked enemy of the Jews, who was planning their complete slaughter. He planned to wipe out every Jew. He's a picture of the Antichrist. He's a picture of the Antichrist. There's coming a man. God calls him the Antichrist. He calls him the beast. And that's what he is going to be intent on doing. Wiping out the Jewish people. But we had Mordecai. And he was a picture of the Lord Jesus. Despised, but in the end he became a great prince. Wore a glorious crown. And organized the Jews against the plot of Haman. Haman was hung, as you know, on the gallows. The Jews organized themselves, and they slew their enemies. Thousands and thousands of them. And you know, the marvelous thing, and I have to read this to you, the marvelous thing is that, and I'm looking at Esther and the chapter 8 and the verse 17, and in every province, listen, and in every province, and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. That's a complete reversal of the situation and the circumstances the Jews had been in. They'd been the subjects of a great slaughter. That was what was planned for them. But God worked. And as a result, they were exalted. And there were people who became Jews. Because such was their opinion of them, now they wanted to be amongst them. That is going to happen one day. Let me read to you from the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah. And there in the book of Zechariah, we are told, the last verse of chapter 8 In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all language of the nations. In other words, every nation. There will be those shall take hold of the skirts of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you. For we have heard that God is with you. That's a future event prophesied by Zechariah. And it was foreshadowed away back in the days of Esther, when God changed and turned the circumstances of the Jews. There were many who said, we want to become Jews. That's going to happen. People are going to associate themselves with the Jewish people when God changes their circumstances. And they'll want to be followers, believers in the God of the Jews in that great day. So I could have, as it were, turned your attention to another example and another picture on Tuesday when I was giving you the three examples that I did. I might just say that at the very last of the book of Esther, the last verse of the book of Esther, it says, for Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. Peace. That was like what's coming when Jesus returns. There will be peace in this world. A reign of peace will begin, lasting 1,000 years on this earth. Oh, there's so many wonderful pictures. And as we turn now to the opening verses of the book of Ruth, I want to show you some aspects of the picture. What I'm going to do, as it were, is use these verses like a photograph, and I'm going to put my finger on certain parts of it and say, do you see that? Do you see that? Do you see that? All foreshadowing events that are going to take place. Let's read the verses at the beginning of the book of Ruth. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left under two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Things didn't go well for Naomi. And I'm telling you here, boys and girls, you have a foreshadowing, a picture of what happened to the Jewish nation some 2,000 years ago. Note, first of all, it says, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. What sort of days were they? Well, go back one verse. You say, we're at the first verse. How can we go back one verse? Well, go back to the last verse of the previous book, the book of Judges. What does it say? In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That was the day of the judges. That's what things were like. There was no king, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man was his own king. Every man, very truly, was his own God. He decided what was right and what was wrong. There was no law. What happened 2,000 years ago? The Jewish nation rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. What was nailed up on his cross? This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And they rejected him. In fact, the leaders of the Jews came to Pilate and said, take that sign down. Rather, write up on it, he says he's the King of the Jews. We don't accept him as King. Just like the days of the judges, there was no king. There was anarchy. There was a rejecting of God's rule, God's truth, God's Son. Where was it that this man, Elimelech, and Naomi lived? Well, we're told it was in Bethlehem. Do you know what the name Bethlehem means? Anybody able to tell me? Yes, Pat. The house of bread. They turned away. They left. They forsook the house of bread. The Lord Jesus had the title The Bread of Life. And just as Elimelech and Naomi and the family turned away from Bethlehem, so the Jewish people 2,000 years ago turned away from the one who was the bread of life. They didn't see him as the bread of life. The circumstances that surrounded him, they couldn't understand. How could this be the king of Israel? How could this be the Messiah? Look at him. Look at him. He's poor. He's rejected. He's despised. They didn't understand that the Lord Jesus had come to be a sacrifice on the cross. And consequently, they rejected him. And Elimelech and Naomi, living there in Bethlehem, when times of difficulty came, there was a famine. Doubtless they said, I know this is called the house of bread, but look at the circumstances we're in. There's a shortage. We'll go somewhere else. And they went to a heathen land, Moab. That's what the Jews did. They turned away from Jesus, the bread of life. Turned away from God. We will not have this man to rule over us. And there began, in the experience of the Jewish people, an awful, awful time. When Elimelech and his wife went to Moab, doubtless they thought things would be better here, but there was one word you could stamp over their experience in that land, the word death. Elimelech died. Then his two sons died. And Naomi was a widow, and also Ruth. Widowed women was all that was left. Judgment followed them. Contrary to their notions that things would improve if they left Bethlehem and went to Moab, the very opposite happened. It's clear in the story of Ruth that the famine didn't last that long. The people were visited again, and plenty was the experience of the people in Bethlehem. But Elimelech and Naomi had turned away from Bethlehem. They turned away also from that man Boaz, who was their kinsman, and who was able to wonderfully survive the famine, because when we meet him, he's a man who is very rich. The famine didn't affect him. He was very rich. He wasn't impoverished. He didn't lose all his money. And had Elimelech done what was right, he would have gone to him for help. Gone to his kinsman redeemer in the time of famine and said, we're impoverished, can you help us? And he would have. But instead they ran away to Moab and brought upon themselves the judgment of God and were visited by death. That is what has happened to the Jewish people. They turned from God. They turned from their Messiah. They rejected him. They said, we have no king but Caesar. And now for 2,000 years they have been in misery. Like it was in the days of Esther, they were scattered. They were subject to hatred. They were subject to oppression. They were the very target of everybody's bitterness. So it is today with the Jews. Do you know, I was just reading this morning that the hatred of the Jew, it's called anti-Semitism. That's the term given for hatred and persecution of the Jews. Well, it was reported today that Acts and the evidence of anti-Semitism is very much on the increase today. Today. And I just read it and I said to myself, and according to the Bible, you could add to that headline, and it will continue to increase until Jesus comes again. The hatred that the Jewish people endured during the days of Esther is a foreshadowing of the hatred that they are going to be subjected to in increasing measures until their great Mordecai, even the Lord Jesus, comes and delivers them. Oh, I tell you, you have here in the opening verses of the book of Ruth, a picture of the fall of Israel. The fall of Israel. But there's more than that. Tucked away in these verses, there's another wee picture. But I'm going to keep that wee one until Tuesday. And we'll look at that. What is that wee picture? Well, I'll tell you what it is, and you can look at it. We've looked at the fall of Israel, but something else happened. There was an ingathering of a Gentile. But more about that on Tuesday. May the Lord help us. to see these things, understand these things, believe these things, and rejoice in these things. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, bless the children. It's precious to our hearts, Lord, to see their faces and to see the earnestness that's often etched there. God bless them. Each and every one, bless our teachers. Do remember the one that needs your healing, strengthening touch, Lord. We thank Thee that God is on the throne. We thank Thee, Lord, that in the darkest and most troubling of events, God is working out His purpose. Have mercy, we pray, and bless us today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.